your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off our program this evening with an interview that Alex Jones had with Patrick Byrne. And he's saying that before Obama left office, he was running a sting operation on Hillary to set her up and control her because it was imminent that she would become president before the election. But that didn't quite happen. But here's what Patrick Byrne had to say about that sting operation.
I bribed Hillary Clinton $18 million. I facilitated a bribe for Hillary Clinton on January 14th, 2016, right here in this town. Hillary, on behalf of the FBI, they came to me around December 1st, 2015. They told me Hillary Clinton had accepted a bribe from Turkey for $20 million. They told me that I would be working for a group in New York, FBI agents, who had authorization to set Hillary Clinton up in a sting. They asked me to facilitate a bribe for her, an $18 million bribe from another government. The bag man from that other government I was to befriend, and I was to get that person 10 minutes alone in a room with Hillary Clinton. I did. On January 14th, 2016, Hillary Clinton was in this town, and she met in a way that was kept off her schedule. She accepted an $18 million bribe. But General Barr knows this. This is the Durham. They know this was what is behind it all. And I'll even tell you, I'm going to drop one more thing. I've been waiting to say this publicly. This is what really happened. I will tell you, if you hear this and give me 90 seconds, your viewers will understand what's happened in the last 5 years in America. I've been waiting to say this on mainstream TV, and they will not have me back because once they understood what this was about. I facilitated a bribe, and she took a second bribe for $18 million. And I worked with the FBI as I did that. They're deeply involved in this. They came to me 3 days later and told me I had to forget about it and forget that it ever happened. And I said, what are you talking about? And they gave me one excuse. They said, Hillary's going to win, and it's been determined, it's been decided upstairs, nothing's going to be able to stop that now. So she's going to win, and she's going to send her people over to the FBI and ask who was part of investigating Hillary, and any of us who were part of it are going to be destroyed, and that includes you too, Patrick. And so this mission has been scrubbed from the highest level. And I thought about that, and I said, yes, sir, and I came. But 2 or 3 weeks later, I was back with three federal agents this time. Three federal agents, and I let them know that wasn't sitting correct, and this is in Salt Lake City, Utah, and that wasn't sitting well with me, and I'd like to know why you had almost a year before.
All right, Patrick M. Byrne, who did found Overstock, a lot of other big companies, successful guy, been on the show before, been dead on about it being election fraud, not voter fraud. I had a chance to be at the same big event with him at the Jericho event this last Saturday in D.C. He's here with us now on short notice at Patrick Byrne. On Twitter, deepcapture.com. Thank you so much for bringing this out. I believe your story. I know there were a lot of stings on Hillary. She was very arrogant. She was taking over, what, $2 billion from different governments, individuals, anybody that would give her money. She'd give them access. That's what the email server shows. I know the Southern District has been investigating her. I know they've been investigating Hunter. When you came out and said this, and I saw the video yesterday, I said, that's the same stuff I got told, that there were successful stings on Hillary. But then when they thought she was going to win, that all got scrubbed, and that The Justice Department has all that info and has been protecting her. So thanks for joining us. You've got the floor here to give us the latest and give us more details, not in that little two-minute piece.
Okay, Alex. Well, thank you for having me on again. And, yes, I did run into you backstage at on one of those events this weekend. I wondered as you were playing that, why have me on? You just played. I told the story on another show, but I'll give you some more detail. This is true. By the way, I'm in an incredibly precarious situation. Well, I've already...
No, I want you to know why you did it. I have a good idea. The country's in trouble. It's time for us all to give our maximum.
Yeah, I mean, hell with it. I've been getting myself an ulcer for 2 years, wanting to come out, but being told, trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. About a year ago, there was a conversation or a communication between myself and the powers that be that said, I am not comfortable being part of a cover-up. And they said, You wait till after the election. After the election, you can say whatever the hell you want to say. Tell the whole story. So I waited to the election, and I couldn't live with myself if I'm not coming out about it now. By the way, what I'm telling you is the second of four bombshells. The first bombshell was the stuff about Maria Butina I came out with a year ago. The second bombshell is what I'm telling you now. There's two more bigger ones to come. I'm just not sharing them yet. So I was in December. Early December 2015, they came to me. They asked me to set up Hillary and a bribe. They did this because I'd worked with the FBI rounding up Wall Street. And if people go back to that fight, I was in a very famous fight, 05 to 08, with Wall Street. And there's a man who went on Fox, U.S. attorney, who later confirmed that, yes, I came in with a whole bunch of information, and it triggered a federal investigation that became this big thing that put 200 people in jail. And if you look at the Steele – anyway, that's up on Deep Capture. A U.S. attorney said that on Fox a year ago, so that part of the story has been confirmed. So they came back, and they said in December – of 2015, we need you. This is word for word. I have something called an eidetic memory. When I tell you something's word for word, it's word for word. They came back and said, this part, the FBI is asking for your help again. There are two groups investigating the FBI, in the FBI investigating Hillary Clinton, Patrick. One is the email group, and we know that's a whitewash, but there's a group in New York who really wants to put her ass in stir. They're going after financials, the Clinton financials. Comey has been blocking them from acting, saying there wasn't enough to justify them going aggressive in their investigative techniques. Now, this is what they explained to me. I'm breaking out a word for word. They then explained to me the legal theory of a sting. Do you mind if I take it? Do I walk you through this in much more detail?
Oh, please, sir. We know you've got a lot more to tell. That's why we got you here. Go ahead.
So I'm going to go through it in much more detail than I did on that other report, that other interview you just clipped from. They explained to me the legal theory of a sting. And they said, look, undercover cop can't just walk up to a stranger and say, hey, you want to buy a bag of cocaine? Because you might not have been out to buy cocaine. They can't just go around creating crimes. So the prosecutor needs to establish that you already had a prior disposition. And they do that by establishing that proving you committed one or more predicate acts. And these are all legal terms. And they explain this all to me. And it comes important later. So I'm walking through in detail. So for example, if you pulled over at a street corner, they need to show you pulled over at an intersection known for drug distribution. You put it in park, you roll down your window, you call this. These are all predicate acts that the prosecutor can later say you already had the prior disposition to buy the cocaine. So when the guy walked up, the undercover cop walked up and sold you some, it's a good bust.
Sure, the government's committing the crime if they initiate it and sell you instead of you're already looking and you were already looking for it, already to commit the crime, it's premeditated. And so they knew she was out selling influence, selling billions of dollars of it. So they needed to have it be a separate third party and show that she was coming to a meeting wanting to be bought off.
Well, close. They were saying that Comey had been saying up to that point there was not enough predicate information to justify a sting. However, Patrick, they told me information has come in that Hillary's accepted a bribe. She took a $20 million bribe from Turkey. And that information has come in, and the group in New York has now used that as leverage to force Comey to sign off on a sting. And he has approved a sting, and the New York group is sending to you for you to help, and you're going to facilitate a bribe. And there's another government that was known to want to bribe Hillary $18 million. You're going to befriend that government. You're going to befriend the bag man in that government. And somewhere, and it's going to happen in the next 2 months, Patrick, somewhere there's going to be a room. And Hillary Clinton walks into that room, and the bag man's in that room.
Sure, it's like all the countless FBI stings we've seen. It's very formulaic.
Well, it was a very specific thing they told me, that there's going to be a room. She's going to come in for 10 minutes. The bag man's going to be in for 10 minutes. They're going to be there alone, and that's it. That's your assignment. And so they gave me that, and so it's up to me how to create that event. So it's all up to me. And I told them, look, to make that happen, there's going to be some bribing and stuff. And I need something called an acts otherwise illegal letter, which is a letter they can give you when they're asking you to do something like this, like get involved in a federal election and bribe someone. And they went back, and I see the time. I'll finish this in 45 seconds, and then we'll continue the story. I'll finish this part. They said, we'll have to go back to the office and discuss it. They came back in 2 days and said, word for word now, we've been told to tell you we can't give you a letter, but if you'll come to D.C., the director says you can be shown a letter. And I said, ooh, this is coming from Director Comey. And two federal agents looked me in the eye and said, and and I said, oh, this is coming from Director Comey and the president. And two federal agents looked me in the eye and said, and I said, well, you can tell Director Comey and President Obama that a from them is good enough for me. Consider Hillary bribed. Come back.
You'll be right back. Oh, so it's Obama trying it. This one is just so big. We know the Obamas and the Clintons don't like each other. Stay with us. And now they're openly stealing this election. A lot of people are really getting angry. And you see Trump releasing a lot of classified info and a lot of serious information coming out about the Chinese communists and about the Russians and about the Bidens and very damning stuff. People ask me, do I believe Dr. Patrick M. Byrne? And I absolutely do believe him because I know the state police and I know New York police and I know good FBI people that have been very, very, and Secret Service that have never given us anything but really accurate information. And it's exactly how he's saying it, though. Like, hey, you need to look over here. No. You need to go do this. You need to go do that. And then, like, I get a call like a month later. You're not doing that. You know, no. You don't do this. You do that. And then it was good info. Like Hillary falling down and, you know, the fact that they had all these stings on her. I've heard this. I just didn't hear it was Patrick M. Byrne. So, Patrick, you're continuing here where they're like, the FBI, this is back under Obama, sting against Hillary. Why would he be wanting to do that right before the election in 2016? This gets into a lot of intrigue.
I'll get you into that. Before I go on, I want to first say one thing, Alex. It's thank you for having me on your show, and I must confess I did not listen to you over the years. I heard wacky things and didn't pay attention. But what I've realized is the mainstream press, that when the dust settles, everyone's going to see the mainstream press. They're the kooks, that they're part of this. They're trying to keep people from understanding what they're seeing in front of them. And good for you. So respect. I'm trying to say in a graceful way.
Sir.
I don't know about your past beliefs. Respect. The only thing is I want to be clear. I have nothing to do with white identitarianism. I eschew anything racist. I assume you're on the same.
Oh, that's the media. Well, I mean, the media says Trump's a Nazi. I wouldn't support Trump if he was. It's all pure crap. They said I'm anti-Semitic because I don't want globalism. Globalism is about world government. The Chi-Coms are globalism. I'm not against Chinese people, but I'm against the Chinese communists. So I think we're on the same boat here.
You know, I speak Chinese. I'd like to talk to you about China when I'm done the Hillary bribe story. I'm not an old China hand, but I was once a young China hand, and I can tell you what's going on. And so what happened was, where was I with Hillary? They asked
the FBI was saying it went all the way up to Obama was green lighting a sting.
And they did this thing and I said, great. Okay. So I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff, but I can tell you that 6 weeks later in this town in the middle of January, there was a moment where Hillary Clinton, and I will walk you through more detail than I did on the other show, but I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm not pretending to tell you.
I just want to ask why you're doing it now and where it's going. I mean, give us big picture first. Obviously, you see this theft of the election. You're pissed. You've been wanting to tell this for years.
Oh, yeah, this is a coup. The coup all began 5 years ago. This is all a coup from Barack Obama against Hillary Clinton. Trump won in a fluke or for some other reasons we can go into. And it morphed into the Russian collusion delusion. And I say this as the guy they had bribing Hillary Clinton and romancing Maria Butina. So I probably am more inside this issue than anyone you can think of. So I know what I'm talking about. So let me go back to this. If you wanted me to come back and dig into the details of how this and that were done, I'll give you a little bit more. But the point is, it pulled off. 6 weeks later, it happened. And I've been shown this spring a document from a bank that would be, say, consistent with what I'm with the what I'll call bribe number two. So bribe number one was $20 million from Turkey. Bribe number two, $18 million from a bank in a different country, not related to Turkey, different country altogether, and not a country I've ever been to. But anyway, so it was, or that I had ever been to. So it's been anyway. So I was not in the room when it happened, but everything fell into place. I met with the agents 3 days later, expecting them to confirm, okay, everything pulled off as expected. Instead, the agent said, Patrick, there were two agents and they're very good guys. And I got to tell you, I do not mean to disparage the FBI. The FBI, we can take the FBI that we have as citizens and create a functioning FBI out of it. But there's a real problem, systemic problem at the top of a lot of our agencies. And I can even tell you, we can go into how that came about. It's called ramspecking. It's the turning of political appointees into people who don't rise to the top from within, but political appointees.
Sure, no, I mean, they brought the operatives in to control the top. That's classic.
Yeah, but after they become political operatives, it used to be taboo that you ever took a job within the department. About 30, 40 years ago, that changed. And now there's a bunch of political appointees who burrowed into the bureaucracy, and they're the problem. Both parties are guilty. So back to I don't want to skip the punchline on all this. So they told me I needed to forget it. And I said, why? And they said, look, it's been decided at the top. We've realized there's no stop. Nothing's going to stop Hillary Clinton from being president now. And the day she's president, she's going to send her men over the FBI, her people over the FBI, and ask who was part of investigating Hillary. And everyone who was part of this, Patrick, were all going to be destroyed from the top to the bottom. And this includes you, Patrick. So it's been decided at the very top, this mission has been scrubbed. And we mean it. You have to wipe every moment of this from your memory. And I said, yes, sir, I understand. But the truth is, deep down, I didn't.
I know why you did it. So tell us now why this is important, tied into latest developments, and who the power source is in your view.
Why it happened? Sorry, this is the punchline. And if you hear this, you'll understand what's happened in the last 5 years. I got back together a few weeks later and said this isn't sitting right. And at this point, there were three federal agents present. And after some hemming and hawing, eventually the following story was expressed to me. And it runs like this. Patrick, what you need to understand, so this is late January 2016. Patrick, what you need to understand is President Obama, and this is word for word, there's really four federal people of different types involved, and this is word for word. Patrick, you need to understand that at this point, President Obama has his people across the federal bureaucracy, but especially in the Department of Justice. Hillary Clinton is going to be president for 8 years, and nothing is going to change that. But think of it this way. Think of it as being a Bunsen burner within the Department of Justice. And on that Bunsen burner, that information about the two bribes you were part of gathering, that'll be sitting there. But the hand on the Bunsen burner is going to be one of Barack Obama's people. If Hillary Clinton is a good girl and defends Obamacare and such, that flame stays low. If she's a bad girl and gets thinking for herself, that flame gets turned up. And that way, Barack Obama is going to manage Hillary Clinton for 8 years.
That's exactly what the feds are trying to do. I just said turn the burner all the way up.
Don't step on the line. You don't want to step on this line, Alex.
Okay, so back to the Bunsen burner.
Two or three more sentences. That way, Barack Obama, for the whole time Hillary Clinton is president, Barack Obama is going to be managing her, and she's going to step down, and Michelle's going to run. And Patrick, that's the plan.
Wow. Say that again, because I did mess up the punchline. The Bunsen burner can be turned up. It can be turned down.
And that way, Barack Obama is going to manage Hillary Clinton for the 8 years she's president. Then she's going to step down, and Michelle's going to run. And, Patrick, that's the plan.
Wow, that makes perfect sense with Biden being an Obama literal zombie, and then he steps down, and then Michelle comes in 4 years, or how do you see that?
No, Hillary would be in for 8 years, and then...
No, I'm talking about now, because I'm thinking about your story is very important, I believe it, but what does that affect the future?
Well, this was all a coup that started there. They were using blackmail. That's why I went public a year ago and said this is all political espionage. That's why I only told the part of the story. I dated Maria Butina two times, and basically what I went public last year was what I figured out in the first time. And I said in that Martha McCallum appearance that they asked me to work on something else, had to do with a corrupt federal official. This is the story I was thinking of, but I didn't want to say it then. I should have. But it was so that's where this all started. Barack Obama started a coup on Hillary Clinton, and the Russian collusion delusion was being set up from the summer of 2015. John Brennan was working on this. I think that these notes that are now being declassified may well be John Brennan knew that maybe the scheme wasn't going to play out. So
you're saying they were trying to get Hillary for being a Russian operative, which we know she was. They just moved all that BS onto Trump.
Well, I think that Brennan, these notes that are being declassified are from
July.
Hold on,
we got a break. Do a few more minutes with us, because I know, I believe you. It's amazing. I want to hear the rest of this on the other side. And then we've got a great investigative journalist about to take over. Dr. Patrick M. Byrne is our guest. And on record, he did date the supposed Russian spy that tried to infiltrate the NRA. Really, she was just trying to be a right-winger and, I think, promote liberty, but that's what we hear. That's a whole other interview. He could disagree with me. He dated her. But that's how he got into this. That's how the FBI was with him. That's how all this is unfolding. This is a short segment, longer segment coming up. Big picture here, Patrick. These power groups, I mean, I know that's true from research and sources, that the Clintons and the Obamas are two different camps. Then you've got Trump, kind of this maverick coming in, with some backing of some foreign groups. I mean, Israeli backing, not Chinese or Russian. That's a whole other camp in Israel. Those are multiple camps. This is a fight of different camps, but Trump did want to relaunch America, have it be dominant. That's why I backed him, because I'm an American firster. Just in the few minutes we have in this short segment, what's the big picture? I understand your story from 4 years ago. It's very pertinent. You're telling it now. But obviously, what does this do into the future, and how does this project onto what's currently happening?
Well, first of all, this is a psyop. You're experiencing a psyop, the stages of which are demoralization, disorientation, crisis, then normalization. And the demoralization is this, you know, is the COVID-19.
Of course.
I mean, it's not to say that it's nothing, but it should have been handled like Sweden handled it. And all the evidence and all the science indicates at this point that that was the lowest deaths per millions of population, which is the correct measure.
Yeah, they tried to panic us. They use it as a psyop, which they never want to end. So how do we break the psyop?
So then disorientation is basically what we're seeing in the streets. I happened to walk in front of the FBI a couple of weeks ago, and there's guys on motorcycles, Antifa guys, and ATVs doing donuts and wheelies on the sidewalk and the street of the FBI, and the FBI just standing back. The FBI agents I've ever met they're not the guys who joined the FBI in order to stand back from that.
The left is demoralizing us, destabilizing us, pissing in our face.
The crisis is creating a fake and imposter president any 8-year-old could see. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I vote on principle, and on principle, I'm against violence. I'm a pacifist libertarian, small R Republican libertarian. But an 8-year-old could see that this got stolen. That's the crisis. There's this imposter, and they're telling us we're the kooks for not buying into their psyop. You know, if you went to the Amazon and found some dusty village, some 8-year-old kid in some basically, you know, lawful village, and you showed them movies of ballots, suitcases of ballots being pulled out while everyone shoot out of the counting. The 8-year-old would tell you, oh, they're stealing the election. But they're trying to tell you that you're not seeing what you're seeing. That's the disorientation and this crisis. And now they're just trying to normalize it by making you think that you're crazy if you see anything irregular about this election. There are scandals all over the world just like this. They may have done this in 52 countries. They may be shifting the balance of power in whole worlds. Anywhere dictated. Anyway, and behind, there is my beloved China, one of my undergraduate major, Dartmouth, Chinese history and such. I was there 83, 84, studying, oddly enough, ancient Chinese history all the way up to Maoist thought. This is the Chinese have searched for years for you should do a show on this, Assassin's Mace, Sha Shou Jian, Assassin's Mace. For 10 years, our national security is known. They have some weapon coming that takes us out with one blow. and it's referenced an old Chinese story. One kingdom takes out another without having to fight a war. You get the right guy, the right place, the assassin. We've wondered, what's the assassin's mace? I think we're experiencing the Sha Shu Jian, the assassin's mace. Because with one blow, they knock us out.
I totally agree. In fact, we've seen Chinese leaders brag that they used the COVID to lock us down. They say, we're over. They're already reopened. We have to recognize this is an assassin's mace, and we have to understand that if we stay in this state of panicked Chicken Little fear, we're done.
You're right. Sweden, look at this numbers for Sweden. Good work, Alex, digging this up before the mainstream idiots. They're still in this, having the vapors about hydrochloroquine, how dangerous it was. Every kid I knew over in Asia, when we were over there in college, everybody just prophylactically took HCQ. You know, after 10 years, 2% of people have a heart problem, have a heart murmur. On that basis, rather than, and we were talking about for this treatment, five days of two doses a day.
Well, stay there, too. There's one more segment, though, on Big Picture, back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
From the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Dr. Patrick M. Byrne is our guest, and he knows what he's talking about when he talks about the Chi-Coms and this death blow operation. But you were just talking during the break about you need to warn people, this is an emergency, about what's coming next and why we've got to fight this and why you're putting it all on the line, why so many others are putting it all on the line with this Chi-Com takeover. If we don't act now, forget election fraud. Joe Biden's a Chi-Com agent on record with his son admitting it in recordings and them taking the cash publicly and Joe Biden saying China should influence every aspect of our lives with Confucius Institutes. I mean, this is open and shut right now.
Well, I love the Chinese, and I love the Chinese as a culture, as a people. This isn't the most Zen. I mean, the thing I love about the Chinese is a certain aspect. And this isn't them at their most admirable. This is the Han Chinese being Han about things rather than trying to join the liberal world order. And by liberal, and I think I made this point last time I was on your show, don't puke your shoes. We're both liberals, Alex. I'm kind of digging your groove here. I'm sorry I haven't listened to you more. But, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt said, great minds speak of ideas, average minds speak of events, weak minds speak of people. The mainstream press has been obsessed with one person for 4 years. You speak about ideas on this show, and you speak about the right ideas. We are defending the history of liberalism. And if we lose the most atomic concept of our history, the most atomic concept of our history is consent of the governed. They asked us, really over the last decade, as I think you've noticed, they've asked us to surrender on freedom of speech. We've compromised on freedom of speech and really freedom of religion and innocent until proven guilty, and. Well, they've gotten to the last and most atomic concept, which is consent of the governed, as determined in elections that are free and fair and transparent.
When you're and they're coming with forced inoculations. They are literally raping us.
Well, I don't know about – I don't want to talk about the inoculations. Outside my circle of competence, I'll make my own private decision on that and after I study it more. I don't want to be a free rider if it's – that's – but anyway, I understand that – but I think that – If we bend a knee on this, until these are transparent, they clearly, in my view, I'm on the inside. I can't say too much. I'm under judge's orders because I guess that's all been released.
Well, you're doing a great job. You'll come back on China soon for a whole hour. You're fascinating. But other key tidbits you want to give people right now and a prelude to what's coming?
Well, I haven't dropped the biggest bombshells. There's two more, and I should probably tell them in one story. I'll tell them in one appearance next week if you want. But a lot of this, for 15 years, I've been exploring the subject and had a website called Deep Capture. It was dormant for a decade until I took this on. I parachuted out of a company I started 20 years ago and built and had a great time and worked with fun people and had a great life in Utah. I parachuted out of it and took all that capital into finishing this fight. It's really a fight that started 15 years ago. And when I took on, I was kind of a one-man occupy Wall Street. In 08, when everything melted down, the Wall Street Journal came out and said, yeah, the crazy guy turned out to be right, as did Bloomberg, and actually they did in 07. But I had that all figured out. and there was a particular crack on Wall Street. So but after that 08, 09, it ended up, as somebody confirmed on Fox, and the clip is up on that site, a U.S. attorney named Brett Tolman. If you go to YouTube and look up a still report from August 2019, Patrick Byrne was right, something like that. They have this clip from Fox where this U.S. attorney went live. Somehow you can't find this on the Fox machines, but you can find it on YouTube. That U.S. attorney talked about that he was the senior counsel of the Senate Judiciary Committee in 2006, and I walked in off the street and brought the material for this investigation that turned into this massive FBI investigation, and 200 people went to jail. After that happened, I kind of went dormant on deep capture. It was voted the best investigative journalism in business investigative journalism in America and the best blog on corruption in America in 2008. And then I kind of discontinued. When I took this on, I started writing back up there. You can find a lot more nuggets up there and some rather shocking things. I'm going to come back in the next I'll come back and tell you the next two pieces of the story sometime. But you are pursuing.
We'd love to have you do it. But here's the deal. Is there any way for Trump to stop this theft? We've got massive evidence of fraud, as you said.
Absolutely. You can't bend the knee to this. I did not vote for Donald Trump, but we cannot bend the knee to this. This is nuts.
So what should the president do?
Well, no comment.
It's been reported and by rumor and so forth that Obama never really liked Hillary at all. And so setting her up like this is believable. Now, next coming up is Francis Boyle, interviewed by Alex Jones. He talks about this vaccine and the dangers of it. And so I'd pay special attention to what Francis Boyle is saying. He said it's very, very dangerous. So I think that's good advice. So here we go now with that.
What went down with Trump and China and the power grab and the great reset and the lockdowns and now all these adverse reactions from the vaccines. They're not vaccines. They're this takeover of your very genetic code. But this wasn't premeditated. And we know they were developing these mRNA vaccines. We know the DARPA was secretly funding them. Now there's Justice Department investigations into them not disclosing that to the Securities and Exchange Commission and others. Because this is a big governmental insider deal, going back to Obama, going back to Fauci. Trump obviously learned about it later, went along with it. I think that's a big black mark on President Trump. But Dr. Boyle, author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Law, this is just deja vu of everything you said 10 months ago, now proven. But explain to people why this is such a bombshell. I mean, this just says premeditation, doesn't it?
Right. Alex, I did want to add one thing here. You showed in your ad there the suffering of U.S. armed forces, and that's correct. I've worked against the Gulf War syndrome as well. You see right here in this press release that Moderna DARPA have admitted this is a biological warfare weapon vaccine, and we have a history here. We have track experience of what happened. I told you before, I helped defend Captain Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn, who likewise refused to give experimental anti-biowarfare vaccines for anthrax and botulin in violation of the Nuremberg Code on Medical Experimentation. Now, at the end of all that, it produced these vaccines, the Gulf War syndrome. And of 500,000 U.S. Troops who were inoculated, it killed about 11,000, and it disabled about 100,000 out of 500,000. And let me say, I haven't looked at those numbers in a while because I haven't, you know, really done work legally with GWS. I have given some veterans some pro bono advice on that. This is the one track record we have with an anti-biowarfare vaccine that poisoned our troops. Well, here, if you see from the press release, they're going to inflict an anti-biowarfare vaccine on the entire United States population. So, again, we will see, I think, casualty figures that you can extrapolate from our troops that were victims of the Gulf War of Sintra. 500,000 inoculated, 11,000 dead, 100,000 disabled. So extrapolate that to the entire American population of 330 million people, likewise being injected with experimental biological warfare vaccines in violation of the Nuremberg Code on Medical Experimentation. And, of course, they're going to inflict these. They're going to order our troops to take these as well. And this will be the Gulf War syndrome on steroids for the entire American people if we let them get away with it, this Pfizer vaccine and also the Moderna vaccine. And, again, as I said before, FDA was involved in developing COVID-19 right there at the UNC BSL-3. It's all there in the article, along with.
So they're all colluding. They're all involved. And you have been exposing this for decades. They admit tens of thousands died from the vaccines. Tens of thousands got sick and died from the Spanish flu or swine flu thing in the 76. Why are they doing something so reckless and so crazy, to test and see if they can cover up the aftermath or just normalize killing us? I mean, what the hell's going on here?
Well, you know, Alex, I told you I went through that exact same PhD program at Harvard that produced Kissinger before me. And to get a PhD like that from Harvard, you have to know all about the origins of World War II. And the Nazis. And again, I am not exaggerating here to say this is a Nazi mentality at work. And I guess your viewing audience, they're bright, very bright, intelligent people. I hear from them all the time. They're very polite to me. I try to respond to them as best I can. They're going to have to draw their own conclusions here. But yes, and remember, Kissinger was in that exact same program before me at Harvard. Harvard is involved in the Wuhan BSL-4 helping develop COVID-19. And you have that national security directive that Kissinger did for Nixon, saying population reduction and control are a national security objective of the United States. I've never heard that it's been revoked. So
let's expand on that. Obama's White House science czar, John P. Holden, wrote the book Ecoscience the same year that memorandum was published, 74, the year I was born, 46, 47 years ago, and called for it. What do you make of Soros and Media Matters attacking you and I and saying that we're liars, that 80% of people with one of the vaccine tests got sick? Bill Gates admitted that, and saying that you're lying, that this is a bioweapon vaccine. I mean, they now admit that from the press release.
Right. The press release makes it very clear. It was funded by DARPA as a biowarfare vaccine. Right. What can I say? Alex, I guess this just means that you and I are partners in crime against the global onius. And I teach against global onism in my course on international human rights. I train my law students against it. And Stieglitz,
explain what global onism is. Just their baloney of the globalist.
Right. Stieglitz, who wrote Globalization and Its Discontents, admitted, yes, I was there with Larry Summers and Bob Rubin and me to develop globalization. With Bob Rubin for Wall Street and the banks and Bill Clinton.
That's right. I've actually read his book, and I've gotten Joseph Stieglitz on a couple times, Nobel Prize winner. Let's do a half of another segment. I know you've got to go, and I've got a bunch of news about globalism, the big picture, and being one of the few people who was ever inside that but wasn't part of it, what we can do to say no to this. And, of course, you've written quite a few books. What do you think the most important book is for people that want to find your books and read them?
Well, as a practical matter, to resist these vaccines, which I think the agenda here is quite clear. they want to inflict Nazi vaccines here on the entire American population, quote, to provide the U.S. Population, unquote. So that's the agenda. I have written a book called Protesting Power, War, Resistance, and Law by Roman and Littlefield, Inc., 2008.
All right, stay there. Let's talk about big picture. Big picture when we come back with Dr. Boyle. Stay with us. Dr. Francis Boyle is our guest for another segment. Then I'm going to cover a bunch of other political breaking news with the campaign, with the election, with the economy, and with globalism. And then we are joined by Cassandra Fairbanks, the Gateway Pundit, who is very close friends and really one of the main confidants of Julian Assange. He travels the UK routinely. He gets persecuted to be able to visit with him. Trump really needs to pardon Assange, or that's, you know, for me, just another reason that he didn't understand the bigger picture and got destroyed by the globalists. But that's coming up. But if you're a long-time listener, you get what's going on. But a lot of new people, they hear this, they choose, oh, that's just them being fear-mongers. Dr. Boyle wrote the U.S. Biological Weapons Law, that's our current law. He's prosecuted war criminals at The Hague. He's a very famous lawyer. The highest level. He went to the special PhD at Harvard that only one person a year goes through. He's in books on world government, the New World Order, and how they developed the plan at Harvard, the current plan off Cecil Rhodes' previous plan. So he's just going ahead and telling you this stuff. This is not just somebody that read it in a book. He was there. You know, my dad was not at Harvard like he was. He was playing too at University of Texas, already going to college when he was 15. And once he was 18, at the research laboratory, he's more on the scientific end. They called them in, him and five others, and told him a lot of the same stuff about world government and, you know, the scientific elite has a right to do this. And Hitler was wrong because his eugenics only targeted certain groups. We're going to go after everybody. So I think that's where Dr. Boyle was going with just why this is so existential. Explain what existential means.
Well, as before we get to that, let me just say that in response to your previous question, your listeners, I'm not trying to make money here, might want to get my book, Protesting Power, War, Resistance, and Law, okay? And it is basically a manual written for lawyers, but I write in plain English, so I had ordinary people in mind. Anyone, you know, with a high school education can read that book and see how to resist these Nazi Frankenshots being used against you. And all you, it's a general strategy thing, but all you have to do in my analysis then is plug in the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. It's right there. Yeah. And that we plugged in with my defense of Captain Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn, who refused to give the biowarfare vaccines that produced the Gulf War syndrome. And Hewitt Vaughn, you know, was a real prophet and a hero. She was convicted in a kangaroo court proceeding, and I was able to get her out of Leavenworth in 8 months. She was adopted a prisoner of conscience by Amnesty International. What is a very sad commentary here, however, is that in Gulf War I, when all of those 500,000 U.S. forces were forced to take those Nazi anti-biowarfare vaccines in violation of the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation, to the best of my knowledge, Hewitt Vaughn was the only one to refuse to poison our troops. That's a very sad commentary on our medical doctors.
But it was conscientious objectors like her and then future waves of anthrax shots that actually got the program suspended. So the good news is previous programs, you and others were at the heart of getting those illegal programs suspended, which is now what you're saying is this violates the Nuremberg Code. It violates the Geneva Convention. It violates every known common sense thing. They didn't even do animal studies. This is just a bum rush by Big Pharma to play God and literally have a corporate takeover of our very cells. You know, the left used to worry about Monsanto taking over corn and soybeans. I'm worried about that, too, which this is our bodies. This is just such a leap forward, such a massive power grab.
Right, Alex. And now these days, Monsanto has a BSL-4 in their corporate headquarters down there in St. Louis. So you can have a biowarfare agent like Ebola sprinkled on your Frankenfoods. I mean, why'd you, and by the way, Monsanto has now been taken over by the neo-Nazis in a Bayer there in Germany, totally unreconstructed Nazis still running Bayer. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you keep going back to Nazis. You're not kidding.
No.
Jean-Claude Juncker, the head of the EU, is literally the heir of the most powerful Nazi royal family and owns Luxembourg himself, and he's heavily invested in all this. I mean, you can't take this up.
No, it's sort of like, Pogo, we met the enemy and he is us. It's back. I had thought we had taken care of Nazism at the end of the Second World War. But as you know, we had a very active denazification campaign involved there. Let's put aside Operation Paperclip, where we smuggled these people here into the United States and rat lines into Latin America. But because of the outbreak of the Cold War with the Soviet Union, we stopped all denazification there in Germany. And there it is. We're still dealing with it today among ourselves. I mean, these people poisoned ourselves. We brought them over here. Werner von Braun, all the rest of them, put them at the top of our scientific establishment.
Who are the ringleaders? So who are the ring? I mean, Bill Gates is the heart of it, the UN, but the UN even last December said in a hearing with the head of their vaccine program, they said, we're wobbly, our doctors don't believe in it, we don't even test it, we're told what to do. It looks to me like their global vaccine program was collapsing, and this is all just a fail-forward, too-big-to-fail smokescreen power grab, kind of like famous oil fire guys would use explosives like Red Adair to blow up an oil rig that was on fire. Use an explosion to cover up the fire that you've got. It seems like that's what they're doing.
Well, actually, we've discussed this before. With all due respect to you, I do watch and read all the mainstream news media here in the United States and some in Britain. So right now, they're succeeding. They're succeeding. They're getting away with it. They're going to be subjecting the entire U.S. population with these Nazi Frankenshots. So unless we stop them, they are succeeding right now as we speak, despite your best efforts, Alex. And I commend you for trying to get the truth out here about what's going on since our first interview on this in February.
Well, I'm just trying to warn people because it's the right thing to do, and you're doing it too, and Media Matters. I mean, I read Media Matters. These are people, too. They write this whole article saying there's nothing wrong, the shots are totally healthy, it's all lies, everything's fine. And then everything they claim we're saying is true on record. I mean, this is just insane. I don't know how one group of media say there's no side effects, everything's fine. Meanwhile, the British government says, don't take this if you have an allergy, it can kill you. Well, I mean, that's incredible.
And you have to have resuscitation sources available. And now we find out this poor healthcare worker up in Alaska, you have to be near an ICU unit or you're going to die. Well, of course, they don't have ICU units in nursing homes. Around here, if someone's in a nursing home with a serious problem, they take them in an ambulance to a hospital. So we're going to be seeing large numbers of our senior citizens just killed off in these nursing homes. And it's very clear, even today's New York Times, there is no system for getting informed and voluntary consent from people in nursing homes as required by the Nuremberg Code on Medical Experimentation. And they've had months to set this up, and they haven't bothered. Sure. Because I don't think they really.
It's like shipping COVID patients in to get half the deaths in New York and other areas, Pennsylvania, from the nursing homes. This is all a test to see what they can get away with. Incredible. Dr. Boyle, thank you for your tireless work, and just we really appreciate you.
Again, Alex, thanks for getting me on, and please keep getting the message out. And we do have to stop these Frankenshots. There's no other word for it.
Yeah, coming up next is the scandal of Representative Swalwell he's on the House Intelligence Committee, and who appointed him on there was Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi. And here she's saying in a small quote interview on during her press conference that they were all informed that he had problems with this Chinese spy, and everybody knew about that, you know, and so forth. But nobody on the Republican side was ever informed of that. So they're saying that she's lying about it. Here's what she said. Here's the lie that you could say she said during that press conference. Here we go now.
I don't have any concern about Mr. Swalwell. There are those in the Congress who believe, and I am among them, that we should be seeing what influence the Chinese. I've been fighting them, as you know, for over 30 years in terms of their undue influence at universities in our country and the overtures they try to make to members of Congress. In terms of Mr. Swalwell, in the spring of 2015, the leadership of the House and the committee were informed that overtures from a Chinese person were being made to members of Congress. When that was made known to the members of Congress, it was over. You know, that was the end of any communication with those people. So it isn't, I think we should make sure that everybody knows what they are being subjected to. But I don't know that it means that we have to black background checks for every intern who comes into the Capitol. I do think that it's unfortunate that Mr. McCarthy is trying to make an issue of this when his leadership, we all found out at the same time, the Republican leadership and that several members had been approached.
Were you briefed on this?
We were all at the same moment, the House, Republican and Democratic leaders, and the leadership of the committee were briefed at the same moment. Make sure you know that, because he keeps going around saying, when did they know? We knew when they knew. And that, at that time, that was the end of it. But you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to deflect attention from the fact that he has QAnon in his delegation over there. And that, I think, is a danger in terms of our debate here about, you know, what the possibilities are for undue influence to members of Congress.
No one can verify that the Republicans were disclosed about Swalwell's involvement with this Chinese spy, so that's a big lie. Coming up next is the solar wind scandal. And what happened there was an upgrade on computers. Even Microsoft got hit on this of solar wind software. And they opened up the ability for hackers to come into the servers and so forth. But here we go with a quick interview.
Neil, I don't know if you've heard. I'm a bit worked up about this morning because this strikes me as the Huawei scenario that the United States was ringing all kinds of alarm bells about. You gotta block China, no Chinese equipment, we gotta protect our networks. Meanwhile, instead of coming up with data standards that apply to everyone, no matter where they're from, not just China, an American company apparently gets hacked by a nation state, presumably Russia, and here we are.
Yeah, it's not great. And I think the only way for people to really think about it is that this attack is still ongoing. It's not over. I think we're conditioned to think of hacks as data breaches where someone breaks in, everyone's personal data gets exposed, we all change our passwords and we move on. In this case, it is much more serious. The attackers are still inside of these systems. People are still trying to figure out exactly what systems were targeted, what companies, what organizations, which parts of the government were targeted, and what offensive capabilities remain inside of these systems, even though we now know the hack has happened. With regards to Microsoft, go ahead.
This is just, it's like handing out a police sketch of the Hamburglar and saying, nobody let this guy into your network, instead of setting up an alarm system that protects against everyone. I mean, that's what we've been doing with China. That's my point.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, if you look at Microsoft statement, you know, they were affected, but they said that no customer data was exposed. They had no impact. Microsoft President Brad Smith put out a long blog post that was sharply critical of the government's approach to cybersecurity. He said the time for unilateralism is over. We need a global response to nation-state threats. Microsoft President Brad Smith is not a rash guy. He's a pretty calm and thoughtful person. And you see that, you see his blog post, you see what he wrote. He is calling it a time of reckoning, a moment of reckoning for the entire national security and cybersecurity apparatus. I think the Trump administration has really kind of dropped the ball here in being so focused on specific Chinese companies instead of the entire cybersecurity infrastructure of the United States.
So, Nile, I tend to think that the U.S. intelligence agencies can be focused on both China and Russia. So if I were to play devil's advocate here, could one perhaps argue that this attack was so sophisticated that it was almost impossible to prepare for something like this? And this is simply the world that we're living in now, especially amid the pandemic. More and more is going online. Data is more valuable than ever. So I just wonder, like, is this what's keeping security experts up at night, that anything we do may not be enough?
Yeah, this type of attack is a supply-side attack. So the bad actors went into a software update, and they infected the software update upstream of where people would install it. So that is a very sophisticated kind of attack. It is also the nightmare scenario. It is what cybersecurity experts, researchers have been warning about for years. So the fact that it happened, we should have been way more prepared to detect it, to mitigate it, to shut it down, and we weren't. And I think in this case, what we're seeing is a bunch of private companies are the ones who sounded the alarm, not the United States government. I think that speaks a lot to just how much we've outsourced of our national security capabilities, how much we've outsourced of the entire government, instead of having a holistic, uniform approach to cybersecurity.
Shepard Smith here. Thanks for watching CNBC on YouTube.
According to different information that's just coming out, according to his biography on the Silver Lake website, Kenneth Hale led the establishment of the firm's offices in China and Japan. We're talking about Silver Lake's investment in Alibaba Group from 2008 to 11. And then also he notes that Silver Lake also notes that AO currently serves as director of the board of several companies, including SolarWinds. And so it looks like there was and still is China involvement with SolarWinds. And they raided their offices a few days ago in Dallas with the U.S. Marshals, FBI, and the Texas Rangers went in there. So this SolarWinds seems like we don't have actual proof yet, but it appears that SolarWinds operating through their offices in Dallas has had connections one way or another, or through other companies, with the Chinese. So did the Chinese rewrite some of the SolarWinds Orion program is what they're talking about? Was that Orion program altered to allow hackers to come in through back doors on servers that were running that Orion software? We don't know that to be absolutely the truth right now. But anyway, everything is blowing up on them. The cybersecurity, man, everything's coming down. And Swalwell should be removed from the Intelligence Committee in the House. He should have never been on there. The Republicans were never told about it by Pelosi or anyone else in briefings. And the recent briefings just lately indicate that McCarthy, that was briefed along with Pelosi, he says that Swalwell should have never been placed upon the House Intelligence Committee to begin with. After his briefing on Friday, he said that in interviews, multiple interviews. So I believe McCarthy and not Pelosi. So thank you for listening, and God bless each and every one of you. Good night. Thank you.